You're listening to Daycare Overhaul, Doing Childcare Better, presented by Childcare BizHelp.
Hello and welcome to Daycare Overhaul, where we do childcare better. I'm Justina Patterson.
And I'm Caroline Jens.
And today we're going to be talking about COVID-friendly digital solutions in childcare.
That's a mouthful.
Yes.
But as always, we're ready for a really great show, aren't we, Justina?
We are.
But before we introduce our guests, let's talk about what's new with you. How's your week going?
It's going well. I put up my Christmas tree and wrapped all presents because there are no rules in 2020, apparently.
Wait, let me understand you correctly. You already did all your Christmas shopping and you have your tree up.
I did most of my Christmas shopping and I do have my tree up. And as you know, we moved this year. And so when we moved, we bought new Christmas ornaments. And as you also may know, my favorite color is rose gold. And I found rose gold Christmas ornaments and I had to buy them all.
Oh my goodness.
And I can never have enough ornaments on the tree. Like there can never be enough. There's probably like 250 ornaments on our tree.
Oh.
And then I realized my husband is stuck with a pink Christmas tree.
How does he, do you have to get a second one to have around your house?
No, I didn't even realize it. And he's like, okay, it's fine. And then I'm looking at him like, yep. Our tree is all pink. That's okay.
That's okay. At least you get a Christmas tree. I think our place is too small. I'm not sure that we're going to have one.
Well, I mean, can you just decorate like a palm tree or something?
I could. Actually, that's not a bad idea. We might get a palm tree to put outside the door and then decorate a flamingo as an elf.
Because that's what happens when you live in Florida.
That is. You know what else happens when you live in Florida?
I have a sneaking suspicion I know. What happens when you live in Florida, Caroline?
Hurricanes. So, fun fact, thank goodness we didn't have this podcast scheduled for yesterday because we had a hurricane here yesterday. The first one since we moved to Florida.
Well, and now I feel like you can say like you're officially a Floridian. Is that what they call you, Floridians?
I think so.
I don't know. But I feel like now you're official because you survived a hurricane slash tropical storm.
Yeah, it did downgrade to a tropical storm, which was cool because then we could actually enjoy it a little without worrying about, you know, our house getting flooded and all that good stuff. But yeah, it was quite powerful. But what was really cool about it, and it's kind of the segue into the show and introducing our guests, you know, we got to sit, our power went out for like 4 hours. So what happens when your power goes out? Well, you sit and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to just spend some really great time with our neighbors and hang out and, you know, just kind of reminding ourselves to slow down and appreciate those around you.
Nice.
So that, yeah. So the good that comes out of the hurricanes is it makes you slow down, makes you get around people that, that you appreciate. And, you know, and that's kind of where I want to do this introduction today to our guests. Welcome, Laura and Whitney.
Hello.
Thank you.
We're so glad to have you guys with us.
We're excited to be here.
Wonderful. And I use that story as a segue in terms of appreciation because, you know, you guys are software consultants from SmartCare. And, you know, for those that haven't heard, you know, don't know of SmartCare, SmartCare is, you know, just a really awesome childcare administration type software, which we'll get into as we, you know, continue to have this conversation. But what's really cool about you guys is you return our phone calls. You everyone that we have dealt with at SmartCare has just been fabulous.
That's awesome. What you didn't know is Whitney and I were fighting. We were fighting. I'll call. No, you call. I'll call.
No, and I say all that to say, you know, that's not normal, especially in your niche that you're in. It's sometimes hard to work with software companies like you. It's very competitive, and oftentimes you just have so many clients that you really don't spend that time, you know, with those prospects that are coming in. But you guys have taken really great care of us. You take really great care of our customers, and we're so excited to have you on today.
Well, thank you.
Well, if I could say one thing there, and I know Whitney agrees, but, you know, Whitney and I are usually the first person that talks to a client. And since the inception of this team, I've always taken the idea that I'm the advocate for the client. And so that is really the heart of our team is, you know, we're constantly going back to our leadership and our product developers and saying, hey, this is what the client needs. And so we love working at SmartCare. We love the people we work with, but we really see ourselves, I mean that from the bottom of our hearts, we really do see ourselves as the client advocate.
Yeah, and we totally feel that from you guys for sure. And I'll let Justina mention something that you're helping contribute towards.
They are contributors in our next leadership box. So that's super excited too. And we're excited to be able to send, those will be shipping out, I don't know, in a couple of weeks. And
wow, that's exciting.
Yay.
Yeah. So I have my stack of stuff behind me to put in all the boxes. And I think that the SmartCare stuff was the first stuff to come in. So
that's awesome. We're super on top of shipping things. I will say that.
That's important. You don't want to, you know, order something or expect something and wait a month and a half to get it. I think it was super quick. Like by the time we figured out what you guys were sending and we gave the address, I think I had it in like a week. It
was super awesome. Quick. That's great to hear.
Yeah, it was definitely the quickest turnaround we ever got with the contributors that are giving us items for the leadership box. So kudos. Thank you guys for joining us in that endeavor. Again, if you don't know what the leadership box is, Justina will include the link in today's summary, right, Justina?
I will do that. Okay, but before we get started, I have to ask a very strange question. I have asked this to a couple people, and I feel like it's also very controversial. And I need to know, is a hot dog a sandwich?
No, it's a hot dog.
A hot dog or a hot dog on a bun is the question.
A hot dog on a bun.
Yes.
No, it's a hot dog. It's its own food group.
No. Two pieces of bread becomes a sandwich, Whitney.
But it's on a bun. So it's more closely related to a hamburger than a sandwich.
But what, couldn't one also argue that a hamburger is also a sandwich?
Stop it.
See, I told you it's controversial. I have no opinion either
Sarah,
way.
What did you say?
I think a hot dog is a hot dog. It's not a sandwich. I have to agree with Whitney.
Two against two.
And the real thing is what is your definition of sandwich? Is it food between two pieces of bread?
No, it's like meat or stuff between two pieces of bread.
Because then technically, if we're going to get technical, a bun is only one piece of bread.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Because a bun comes together and we slice it in half. Like, are we talking sliced bread or are we talking, I mean, it goes down a whole new rabbit hole.
Sandwiches are just one piece of bread that we slice. I don't know.
See, we could spend all day on this because then you could even argue that pizza is an open-faced sandwich.
All right, Jeff, you're an instigator.
Yes.
I told you it was going to be controversial. Everybody that I've asked this to, it is a very heavy debate.
It is.
And I don't know that there's an actual answer. Like if you look,
I'm bringing it to the leadership team and we're going to finalize this. We're going to figure this out some point.
Like if you look on a menu at a restaurant, they have burgers and sandwiches separate, even though a burger is a sandwich. But they never have hot dog. First of all, it's probably rare that you're going to find hot dog on a menu anyways, unless it's a kid's menu. And then it does not have it sectioned by type of food. Maybe we need to ask children because I feel like they have no...
Yes.
Have no...
preconceived background. Like, yeah.
Analytical. Why would it not be or why would it be? They would be able to answer that question for us, I think.
I love it.
Well, I think our listeners can help us with that too. We can put a poll out there, I think, and find out what other people think.
I would be interested to know. I think it's going to be a very heavy debate.
I do too. And I think in terms of, you know, coming out of this election, this is the kind of debate I'd love to have. is a hot dog a sandwich? But anyways, enough about hot dogs and sandwiches because you're making me hungry. I haven't had lunch yet. Let's get to know a little more about Laura and Whitney. You guys want to start today off just maybe telling us a little bit about SmartCare and, you know, how you started your journey there, and we'd love to get to know you guys a little more.
Yeah, of course. So SmartCare was born in 2014, you know, when it became clear that there was a paradigm shift coming from, you know, parents wanting to move from a daycare mentality to that early education child care demand. So SmartCare's focus was on creating a platform where teachers could communicate with parents, and the life of an administrator was, as we like to say, smarter, not harder.
True.
I joined the SmartCare family back in February of 2018 and have just watched SmartCare grow just to meet the needs of our clients. So we're always evolving, we're always changing, we're always editing things to make sure that we're going to what everyone needs within the software. But my background is actually a training specialist. So I actually started as a training specialist within the SmartCare family. So my expertise really manifests best when problem solving a complex solution for clients.
Is that why you have a spider web behind your head?
Yeah. I have to figure out like how to set myself apart from everyone else. So I keep my spider webs up throughout the course of the year. We just add Christmas decorations to it.
Obviously, our listeners cannot see behind you, but she's got a skeleton back there in a big spider web. So every time she talks, I can only, it's like you're caught in the web.
I'm caught in the web of the day.
Well, I'm sure that training background really helps, and that's part probably why you guys are so good at what you do, because I think if you're a trainer at heart, that's what our industry really needs, and that's such a useful skill to have.
It's been really nice in the transition from, you know, a trainer to sales. I have a sales background, so that was where I came from to begin with, but I also have a training background. So it's really nice to be able to find what everyone's, you know, needs are and create a solution that is customized for their needs within the platform that we have. So it's kind of fun for me.
Cool. What about you, Laura?
Yeah, so my journey began just the month before Whitney's in 2018, and I'm a former educator, and I've always stayed within the education vertical, and so what I bring to the team is just that education mentality of a teacher, you know, and with, I always say that they threw me in the deep end, because the first month that I came on board, we retired an older platform that was a desktop platform. And so thousands of clients were jumping over to SmartCare, and it was very exciting because it was cloud-based. And so they were able to, you know, no longer stress about the worries of a desktop crashing or not being able to work from home. They could work from anywhere. And I would have to say it was an exciting time. But instead of kind of going through that process slowly, I literally jump into the deep end with just thousands of clients calling, you know, hey, we're ready to get on the SmartCare platform. So those were exciting times back in 2018.
Exciting is one word for it. I had to train all those new ones that came on. So yes.
Is software really exciting? Actually it is, but
it is. It's so fun. I actually really like the software industry and being able to see all of the new journeys that everyone comes up with.
And it was an exciting time because so many owners or directors, you know, they were used to having to, you know, as we all know, educators work 24/7. And so, you know, they were able now to, if they were sick, you know, we work when we're sick. And so now we're on the Microsoft Azure platform. And so now they could log in, you know, at their bedside and be able to connect with their families or their teachers or, you know, whatever, and do their, and run their businesses, which didn't stop because they wear so many hats. So now they're able to do that from home with SmartCare. Whereas before, our older platform was a desktop solution. So it was on premise at all times. So it was exciting.
That's really fascinating. I know, like, we always nerded about software stuff, but not everyone does. So it's kind of fun to, like, sit, listen to people, like, kind of, like, get a little bit nerdy about software. And I also want to say, I think it's so funny that people in the childcare industry always talk about things being born as opposed to, like, opening or starting. And like, then you celebrate like your birthday as opposed to like something else, you know.
That's awesome. That's really
so
funny.
So as you know, we're going to talk through this. We're going to talk about what you guys are kind of seeing on your end in the industry. But I think before we do that, Caroline, let's talk about what you and I have been seeing and see if it kind of correlates with what Laura and Whitney have been seeing as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's a great idea. I think, well, if I were to start.
Why don't you start, Caroline?
If I were to start. So honestly, this is crazy. I'm seeing two things right now. One is this influx of new startups. Like, we're getting call after call after call of people that are wanting to start a childcare center. So there's that avenue. But then on the flip side, we're seeing that unfortunate, you know, where childcare owners are deciding to actually close their doors. You know, things were stressful before COVID, and obviously things have gotten, you know, a lot more stressful, just as with any other industry. It's actually, you know, pushed some owners to make that decision to close their doors. So that's been difficult, but at the same token, there's that hope of all these brand new startups that are coming in with, you know, new energy, a fresh approach. So that's kind of one thing that I'm seeing. The other is just centers really needing to build confidence in their families and in their staff. You know, we're having a hard time hire before COVID, but even now it seems to be worse because people are wondering if they should expose themselves, you know, because that's a high risk type of job now. We don't close, you know, we've stayed open. And so we're trying to build confidence, not only in families bringing their kids back. And I think you guys will kind of touch on that. But the other is just making our staff comfortable too.
And I think, you know, thinking about it, smaller things is centers are trying to be like as touch-free as possible, like limit the amount of not necessarily interaction, but physical interaction that they have to have. And so how can we do that in a safe way, but still not lose the connection, the communication that is so vital? I think we know that you can never, ever communicate enough with your families and your staff, and you can never connect enough. So that connection and that communication is like more important than it ever has been. So Whitney and Laura, are you guys kind of seeing that too, or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now, everything that's top of mind is coronavirus. And, you know, Whitney and I, our job is we talk to owners, directors every day, all day, any type of administrator. And you know what they're really sharing with us is just that struggle to stay open, just with all the new regulations, the new restrictions, the new sanitation practices, and not to mention the emotional adjustments that have to take place. I mean, the basic task of just comforting a child now is something in the past we would have never thought twice about. It was who we were as educators. We nurture those babies. We pull them in close. We touch them. We hug them. We, you know, and now it's like all of a sudden we're second guessing what comes most natural in this environment. And we are talking so often to administrators about how do we do that with confidence. Not to mention just the whole concept of social distancing and childcare is like an oxymoron, you know what I'm saying? But we've watched, and I want to speak back to something that you said before. One thing I try to tell my providers when I talk to them every day is thank you, because I don't feel like the news in general is talking about how our childcare providers are on the front lines. You know, we are so grateful for nurses and officers and doctors, but our childcare providers are on the front lines. And so that's one thing every day that I feel like is my job is to just say thank you for staying on the front lines because they are staying open. And I wish globally people could see that. But at SmartCare, you know, we're just kind of doing our best just to help with anything and everything to make it, like you said, Justina, you know, more touch-free, whether that's check-in or making payments or going paperless with communication. And I just turned in a new product feature today after talking. I had a demo this morning with a client and she had a great idea and I went right to our product channel and turned it in. So we're just continuing to have those discussions.
Cool. Do you really think that families appreciate like those touchless options that are provided, or do you think that's just something we're just doing to go through the motions?
No, I mean, I think we're reminded of that even every time we go out to dinner with a QR code, you know, and SmartCare's been doing that for some time. We've made it easier. But I think, you know, families are noticing that switch. I think one thing that's important to note is that we are trying as an industry to not just respond to COVID, but to prevent it. And I think that's something that's super important to focus on is that prevention. You know, our goal is for those parents to be able to work, for those centers to stay open. And I just talked to a provider last week and they had that whole situation where, you know, a teacher had been in contact with somebody who had it and they had to shut two classrooms down for 2 weeks. And, you know, this parent was, you know, nobody ended up getting it, but that parent's home for 2 weeks. And so I think we're really focused on the prevention and not just the response, which is equally important. But the prevention comes with things like, you know, states are putting these regulations where parents can't enter a building. So, you know, now instead of just our parents coming to a kiosk, we have printable QR codes that you can put outside the door for that face-to-face transfer, where parents can use their phones. They don't have to touch anything. They can make a payment on their phone and then communicate with the parent through the app, which is sad, but it's absolutely necessary right now for prevention.
Yeah. And another thing that's really great that a lot of centers that we've heard from is they're doing drop-off lanes. So again, drop-off lanes are great, fantastic way to minimize the, you know, the touching back and forth and things of that nature. But again, going back to those printable QR codes, parents don't even have to get out of their car. All they have to do is scan that QR code and clock their child in. And then the teacher takes it from there and takes the child inside the building. That way, again, it's less of that transfer that could potentially happen just from even them coming up to the door and being so close to another teacher. They're in their car, they're not getting out, they're not physically touching anything or, you know, breathing on anyone.
Well, and I really love, you know, when we were talking about trying to build confidence, and this is something that we are talking to with our clients all the time, like how do we show things that we're doing so that we can build confidence. And what you said is that you're trying to prevent, not respond. And that is such a great way to communicate what our industry is doing. We're trying to prevent, not just respond. I love that.
Yeah. I always say, especially with my parenting, you know, I don't want to perform an autopsy. As far as parenting my kids, you know, I want to try to prevent some things with that on the front end. And so I do really feel like SmartCare is trying to think ahead, and I love that whole prevention. And response is important, and we have reports so that we know where children have been if they do get, you know, coronavirus. Thank goodness children are responding so well, but we do have the ability to show attendance records. So the response is important, but like you said, the prevention is key.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really great. And I wanted to say one thing you mentioned was all the new regulations and procedures and cleaning and all that kind of stuff. And I know we have helped a number of our clients like redo handbooks, come up with new processes for giving safe tours and parent drop-off and pickup and all that sort of thing. And what are some of the things that SmartCare has done to help centers provide care with the COVID?
You know, all the fun stuff. I swear every time we hear the word COVID, everyone kind of cringes a little bit on the inside and we kind of cry. But, you know, again, going back to those QR codes, we've had them for several years. We just released recently where you can print them out so that, again, we can do those drop-off lanes. We can do that where there's less communication. Parents have the ability to pay you online versus, again, having that transfer of physical checks or money or something of that nature. And then with one of our one other thing is we can do those, you know, daily communications with parents via email and through their app. So again, they are not receiving paper forms. I know when my kids went to school, you know, I always got that end of day daily sheet. What was my kid doing throughout the day? Now we can send that digitally to parents. So again, there's less of that possibility of transfer, whether it's from a parent to a teacher or a parent to another child, or anything in that nature where, you know, it's terrible for a parent. I could not imagine my child being in school right now where I couldn't go in and talk to his teacher, because I got really close with some of my son's teachers. But now, you know, I as a parent would feel more comfortable with being able to, okay, I can pay online. I don't have to go into the school, you know, and there's less of that, you know, transfer back and forth.
Yeah. And if I could just add to that, we're making some enhancements to our two-way communication on our classroom management platform, just because that communication with parents is more important than ever before. So our dev team is working on those, the enhancements to that two-way communication. And then one thing that I love, and I always say to my clients, this sounds such like a small thing, but I love it during COVID, is on our classroom management platform, we have a sample end of daily sheet. And so now with centers moving to more remote tours, they can do a remote tour. And at the end, they have this very simple place that they can go on our classroom management platform, and they can just click send an example of a daily end of daily sheet. And it'll send that parent with the child's name to the parent email, just so they can see, hey, this is the daily sheet you're going to receive if you join our center. And even though we've had that, it's an addition now to the remote tours, because they're not necessarily in the centers anymore. Another area that SmartCare really sets itself apart is enrollment. And so we have complete online enrollment, and you do not have to have your own website to utilize that, because we create the URL within SmartCare in the enrollment management. And so you can either put that on your website, or you can email that URL out. I have some centers that have wonderful websites, but they still don't want that on their website. So you can still just send that out digitally through an email or through the timeline, regardless of whether or not you have a website. But it's great, all that online enrollment now, whereas before we were doing everything. Not only were we doing it face to face with the transfer of the paperwork, which we need to be doing less of now, but also the administrators not having to input all the information.
Yep.
That's really cool that's all. I didn't realize that was a part of your platform.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's cool.
Even kind of that one stop shop. Yeah. Yeah. That's our goal. Smarter, not harder.
Well, and those enrollment packets are like 1,000 pages long. I mean, not really, but it's so much that you have to keep track of and like get everything in to be able to just have that digitally and then print it if you would need it is really nice to just have that. Something that I always try to do is look at the good in everything and what something has done for us, not to us. And with COVID, like, that's no different. And we knew, Caroline and I talked very early on, probably in March, that we knew the coronavirus was going to change the way people do business, mm-hmm. because there's no other option. You have to adapt. You mentioned some changes that SmartCare has made. And do you think that the changes that you made are the ones you may have not considered before coronavirus? So it kind of like pushed you to adapt in a different way. And now you're grateful that you had to do that.
I mean, I would say absolutely yes. Because as much as, you know, we want to say, no, we were on the front lines doing this. we weren't. We had some aspects of it on the front line, like the touchless payments and things like that. But, you know, creating that online enrollment, we had to adapt so that centers could adapt to that online system and be away from that paper, you know, and just think of how many trees we're all saving from not having to print out the big packets and things like that. And parents, there's no transfer back and forth between parents and center directors. We can do all of that online. You know, they can email back and forth if they really need to. I mean, there's tons of different items. I would say yes and no, because we were on the front lines on some, but not on others. And we did have to adapt to others with the corona.
Well, and maybe it was something that you had, but it wasn't like a huge feature that was used all the time. And so now it's like, no, but look, we already have this. It's already here. Make sure you're using it.
And that, I will say, that was part of the enrollment. We had the enrollment, but it wasn't as robust as it is now. You know, we really developed and put a lot of development time into our enrollment piece to bulk it up, to adapt to, you know, getting rid of, so parents, they can do the parent handbook on there. That way, again, they're not having to give that big pamphlet saying, here's all of your information. They can do it all through the website and through that URL link.
That's great. And so, you know, this, you know, kind of segues into the question is, can we get an inside peek on anything that's coming in 2021?
So there's a lot that we, so conversation. So as we said before, you know, we're ever evolving. We're constantly growing. We don't stop just because we think it's good enough. We take everybody's thoughts into consideration as we go through in 2021. You know, we're very excited. There is one component that we are working on really hard. It is a pick-a-day calendar for parents to be able to continuously pick and adjust their schedule as they need to, especially, say, for those nurses and doctors and things of that nature. Their schedule's constantly changing. So that is something that we are working on. There's a lot of other features that, again, you know, we're trying really hard to stay up to date so that we don't ever fall behind. I mean, again, we're always moving forward. We don't want to stop, but the pick-a-day one I'm really excited about.
Yeah, we're all
I'm
really,
a 2-year-old and I just want it.
I know, we're all really excited about pick-a-day. And one of the reasons is, so I used to run my own business in a prior life. And so I understand that. I always tease. I've been a teacher. I run my own business, but I've never been an administrator for childcare center. So that's where I learned from people like you guys. But I do understand that bottom line. And so having run my own business, and so what's great about pick-a-day is that in the past, when we had clients where parents were constantly changing and choosing, they needed to pay in arrears after they'd already clocked in or out. So it was based on attendance. Well, now it can still be based on attendance, but because they can choose completely different days all over the place, the parent's doing this online, but they're paying ahead. And so that's that business component that is so great for our providers, because they need to say, you know, hey, that's a great business model. We need you to pay ahead. And we totally understand that you're on the front lines and date, you know, you may need Tuesday and Friday this week and Monday, Wednesday, Friday next week. So pick-a-day is going to be really, I think, transformational for our clients who need that pay ahead. Whereas in before, if it was attendance-based, they were paying in arrears.
Yeah. And I think Justina and I know just from past experience, you know, working that director desk, and then you got parents back in the day when parents came in and they were just writing on a post-it, like, I'm not going to be here this day, or I'm adding this day.
Yep.
I'm sure there's lots of revenue that we missed out on from parents adding days and we never collected it because there was really no structure. That was something that we battled with all the time.
Right. Yeah.
And this way they'll be able to run reports showing, okay, next week I have X amount of children that are going to be coming in, and you can schedule to that versus having, you know, children be dropped off randomly. And you're like, oh my gosh, now I'm short a teacher. Now I got to bring in another teacher, or you're scrambling to be in the classroom. You know, it frees up the director's time too, so that they don't always have to be in that classroom. You know, they can manage their staffing a little easier as well to be able to show, okay, I have X amount of children and X amount of teachers for that classroom.
Well, you guys, we'll get, my next question will be,
you know, really, who is SmartCare for? But before I ask you that, just appreciate the fact that you guys have been working so hard to create these efficiencies, which is something, you know, we're trying to help out that center director as much as possible, that center administrator as much as possible. Having these efficiencies, having this technology that you're constantly improving, the ability to help with parent communication is huge. And so any way that, you know, that piece of your software continually evolving to help that part of our jobs would be great. And just again, I love the preventative thinking that you have rather than being reactive. So that's great. So tell us, you know, who really is SmartCare for? Who's it designed for?
Yeah. You know, I mean, right now we're seeing global change in childcare. And there's just more and more and more need of the digital age. And I will tell you that I talk to so many providers who don't really want to change and move into the digital age because they're extroverts. By and large, you know, those of us that care for children and families, we're extroverts and we want that face-to-face interaction. And so I would tell you that the childcare industry was really is one of the last to step full throttle into the digital age because of that. We want to talk to a family. We don't want our teachers to stay on a device. We want them caring for the children. On the opposite spectrum of that, I will tell you about 80% of our parents in this industry.
I think she froze.
She froze. But that's okay.
It would be so funny if people could hear me.
Laura, you froze for a second. We lost you.
I can hear me now.
Yes.
Was it a good look?
It was not. I love you, but you were doing kind of the funky face there for a second.
Well, and I think you left off talking about how, and you really hit this on the head. In our industry, we loved to have those conversations. Our attention has to be on the kids. So bringing in technology was kind of contradictory to that, right?
Yeah. And where I was going with that is that 80% of the parents, though, are millennials and Gen Zs. And so it's really where they're most comfortable. And so whether you're an in-home center or one location center or a school or a franchise, I mean, I can't even tell you, Whitney and I are seeing an influx of in-home centers calling us because they want that parent to stop at the door. They can put that QR code, they laminate it, put it on the outside of the door. They hit that QR code, check the child in, they open the door and the child comes in. And that is, we are just seeing, we're seeing an influx of that. So really we're for that's one location to multiple locations to franchises to that. You know, I had a lady I talked to just this week. She has 6 kids and she was over the moon about SmartCare. So really anything, whether you have 6 kids, 5 kids, all the way up to a franchise or 10 locations, it doesn't matter.
And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said like the millennials and the Gen Zs, they want that digital being in that demographic. I would rather have an email than a face-to-face conversation with most people.
Whitney and I argue about this all the time because I'm not in that demographic, but Whitney is. And we argue about this all the time.
Because I'm much more, send me an email. I can get back to you quicker via email versus a phone call. I'm stuck on the phone with you for 2 hours and I can't get any more work done. But I'm either way. I like to talk to people too, so...
I like to say like I'm an introverted extrovert. Like I do enjoy being around people, but at the same time, if I can get something done in an email significantly quicker, I would do that too.
Same boat.
Well, great. I think you guys have given our listeners a lot of really good information. It's just cool to hear about your product. It's cool to hear how you're helping our industry and we appreciate that. We love your customer service, so focus on that in 2021 because you don't want to lose that piece of who you are because that's one of the gripes that we hear from a lot of our clients is just they're not treated well. They're not responded to. They're not being heard. And so love SmartCare. Love how you guys treat our industry and all of our peeps. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us. We've enjoyed it.
Yes, we really have. It's been really fun.
Well, like Caroline said, thank you so much for everything you guys do. And if you're interested in learning more about Smart Care, we'll put the link to you guys in our description on our website. So visit childcarebizhelp.com/podcast. Find episode 22, I believe. And we'll have all the information in that write-up all about Smart Care. So if you ever have any questions about anything childcare related, send us an email at info@daycareoverhaul. We would love to talk on a podcast about it. Otherwise, we'll see you guys next time.
Yes, see you next time. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you.